Amen, amen, amen. Come on, who's looking for the trumpet to sound? Amen. Who's looking for the time when we'll ascend up into heaven? Amen. We'll all be caught up. It says the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Amen. And we'll meet him in the air. Amen, amen. Come on, who's looking forward to it? That's the next event. That's the next thing God has in store for us, that we would be caught up in the air with him. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the time that he calls. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for God. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for God. Our wonderful creator, our wonderful savior. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. For this wonderful pastor of the City of Refuge. Amen. For First Lady of City of Refuge, amen. And for this glory conference, amen. Come on, can we put our hands together? I want to encourage you to push through this day, amen. We still have enough energy to give God praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Even when we don't feel like it, he's still worthy. Even when we're tired, he's still worthy. Even when we don't deserve it, he's still worthy. Even when we don't deserve to praise him because we've messed up so many times, but he still loves us and he's still worthy. Amen. Oh, come on. Let's put our hands together for him one more time. Amen, amen, amen. Scripture comes from Psalm 107, amen. Psalm 107. If you would, please grab your Bible. Turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. In my Bible, it's entitled A Psalm of Thanksgiving, amen. A Psalm of Thanksgiving. Would you have it? Would you say amen? Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to read the first 9 verses, amen. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hunger and thirst, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 9, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you, God. God, thank you for this time, God, and thank you for this moment. God, thank you for who you are and for what you've done thus far today, God. God, thank you even for this moment right now that you've allowed us to be here, God, and for that we say thank you. Not on our own accord, God, but because of your grace and your mercy, Father, you allowed us to be here, and for that, God, we say thank you. God, we thank you for how you kept the enemy at bay today, God. God, we thank you for a measure of health and strength today, God. God, we thank you for everything, Father God, those things seen and unseen, for allowing it to happen, God. For that, we say thank you. Now, God, if it would be your will to open up our ears and our hearts and our minds, God, to receive the word here today, God, allow it to be shared in a way that it will be easy to receive into our hearts, Father. God, not just for the sake of receiving, but that we would be blessed to be a blessing unto someone else. For God, we need you. We can't do it without you, God. Bless here in this preaching moment, Father, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I was told that the theme for tonight, for this whole glory conference, amen, is it's time to pray. It's time to pray. And the pray was actually broken down into an acronym to say proclaim and to recall and to acknowledge and to yearn. Amen. And if you really look at that and you look at all 4 of those words together, they precede each other. They flow together. Amen. For you to be able to proclaim, and then after you proclaim, then you recall, and after you recall, then you acknowledge, and then finally after acknowledge, you then yearn, amen. And tonight, if God would allow, I want to talk to you about from the subject of yearning for God, because he is the answer, amen. Yeah. Yearning for God because he is the answer. Yeah. What I first had to do is I had to look up the definition of the word yearn, and it really amazed me because in looking at this word, you know, we all have our own definitions, but seeing it actually talked about longing for something with an intense desire. Longing for something with an intense desire. And then God allowed me to look back on myself and said, well, when is the last time that I yearned for him? When is the last time that I yearned for him with an intense desire? When is the last time that I came into church and no matter what else was going on, no matter what else was happening, I yearned for him? I didn't come in church just in any kind of form or fashion or just because out of habit, but I actually came in yearning for that relationship with him. And here we see in Psalms 107, it talks about hunger and thirst, these verses that we read. We're going to use more scriptures here, but it talked about this hunger and this thirst. And God began to talk to me. He said, remember when you were hungry. Remember when you were thirsty. Remember how you felt empty, how something wasn't there. But then once you got the food, once you got the thirst, how it was all then quenched and taken care of. So this yearning is the same way. This yearning is the same way that we should feel. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, we should yearn for the presence of the Lord. We should yearn to want to be with him. We should yearn to want to do what it is that he would have for us to do, to delight him, to please him in everything that we do. We should have a yearning inside of us as believers that maybe the world might not understand it. It might be crazy to the world on a Wednesday night. It might be crazy to somebody else to get up early in the morning. It might be crazy to someone else to stay up late at night. But you know what? There ought to be a yearning inside the body of Christ that we want to spend more time with him. Amen. If you look over, I'm going to give you a few scriptures. Amen. Do you mind following with me? If you looked over in Jeremiah chapter 9, I just want to go ahead and share a couple of scriptures with you, amen? Just a couple of scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 9, amen? So to yearn for the Lord, and in our yearning for him, we want to please him, amen? We want to for him to be delighted with us. We want him to be happy with how it is that we respond and what it is that we do, amen? Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23, it says, thus saith the Lord, amen. It says, the Lord says this, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. It says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and know me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And so when we see this type of thing and we now want to say, well, I yearn for him. Yeah, I want to be in this place where I feel as though I can't make it without him. Every step that I take, I want God to be happy with what it is that I'm doing. Well, here in Jeremiah, we see that what is actually breaking down, it says all those things of the world. It says not in your own wisdom, not in your own might, not in your riches, but to glorify him. And when we glorify him and he's delighted when we understand him, when we know him, when we spend time with him, when we meditate with him, when we pray with him. I'm here to tell you, church, it's time to pray. Amen. It says in loving kindness and in judgment and in righteousness and the earth, it says, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So I can't just yearn for him with my leftover time. I just can't yearn for him because everything's going right and I'm feeling good. I just can't yearn for him when I'm wide awake and I'm feeling good and everything's just lined up in my life. But a yearning ought to be there regardless of what's going on in my life, whether I have or whether I have not. Whether I'm feeling good or whether I'm feeling bad, I should still have a yearning for him Because, church, it's time to pray. Amen. He wants us to yearn for him. And if we look here in 2014, how busy we are, how many things we have going on. I was talking to Pastor when we were back in the study. He said, how is your day going? And I started to recall all the different things that God has had me doing. I've been here. I've been there. I've been here. I've been there. And it seems as though sometimes we don't even get a moment to ourselves. But I thank God. I thank God that even in the midst of being busy, he still allows us to yearn for him. He gives us the opportunity. If we just would really look at our situations, you might think that you're real busy. You might think that something's always going on, but God always gives an opportunity for us to spend time with him. Amen. 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 Look, I want to show you another scripture in Jeremiah. Amen. Would you turn over to chapter 22? Chapter 22. Amen. King Josiah. I want to talk to you a little bit about King Josiah. Amen. Chapter 22 here in Jeremiah. Amen. Amen. Verse number 15. Amen. Verse number 15. It says, shalt thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar? Did not thy father eat and drink and do judgment and justice? And then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? So see, it talks here, and it's talking, and it's saying, look, it's not about the house that you live in, amen. It's not about the eating and the drinking and the being merry. It's not about those things, because those things come and go. But what's important is that we have compassion for our fellow man. Amen. So how can I yearn for him? How can I delight him? How can I make God happy? Well, I first have to make sure that I'm looking at myself and I'm taking time to allow me to be in the place that God wants me to be. Amen. That I'm in a place where I can hear from him, that I'm in a place where I can speak with him, that I'm in a place that I can meditate on his word. And then I have to say, wait a minute, it's not just about me. I gotta have some time where I have some compassion about my fellow man, because just as though God made me, just as though God has given me another chance, just as though God has done it for me, he's done it for somebody else. And if God would have compassion, if God would show love, then I need to be able to do the same thing. Amen. So as a believer, we know that God is love. And so what better way to show God than to show love towards one another? What better way to show just how good God is than to show love towards one another? See, we can sit up there and say hallelujah all day long. We can say thank you, Jesus, all day long. But until we actually take the time to not have to use our mouths to show that we're believers, then we're not doing it the way God would have for us to do. It doesn't always take your mouth. You ought to be able to walk in the room, and because of the presence of the Lord on you, because of divine favor that follows you, even before you get there, the Bible lets us know there's situations that even before we get there, God's already showed up in the place. So there ought to be something that follows us, that we go behind, that goes before us in every single thing that we do, to let somebody know just how good God is. Amen. It says Josiah knew him by showing himself. He showed himself to be just and right in his actions. Amen. So as believers, if I'm going to yearn for the Lord, again, I can't do it any old kind of way. I have to be just in what I'm doing. I have to be right. I have to line up with the word of God to be able to yearn for him to be able to accept what it is, because I want him to be pleased with me. I want him to be delighted with me. I want him to be happy with everything that I'm doing. Amen. Understand that this compassion that I'm talking about for man is a reward within itself. It's a reward within itself. It's a reward within itself, because when I show compassion, the presence of the Lord has to be there. When I show compassion, the presence of the Lord has to be there. I'm not the one that has defined love. He's the one that's defined love. And so when I show compassion to someone else, the presence of God is there. Think about it. Ever been on your job? Ever been in a situation where it seems as though you could have acted another way, right, but you chose to act out of compassion? You chose to act in love in a situation that really could have blown up, actually ended up working out in your favor. Amen. Because that compassion actually allowed the presence of the Lord to be revealed. Someone else can get all hyped up and angry and talk all kinds of ways. You know what? But if they sit there and do that by themselves and you're calm and you show love, the presence of the Lord is in the midst. And he'll work it out. Amen. 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 We please him when we delight him. We please him when we know him. I want to go back over here to Psalms. I wanted to show you those scriptures just to go ahead and give you something that's going to actually support what it is that we're talking about here. But if you go back over to Psalms, Psalm number 7, I want you to see that there's four different things, there's four different examples that lets us know why he is the answer, why we should yearn for him, and why he is the answer to our yearning. If I'm going to yearn for him, I told you before in breaking that word down, that it means an intense desire to long for him. Amen? And so for something to be an intense desire for me to long for something, then that means that 9 times out of 10, it had to get extreme on the other side. And so if I'm hungry, anybody ever here ever been hungry before? Okay. And so it's one thing that I missed my lunch today. And I didn't get a chance to eat, and now I'm hungry. That's one thing. But it's another thing to actually be in a position where you don't have any food,
right?
And to be hungry. And so there's a difference. And so now when we sit here, and you know, it's one thing when I start to take my relationship with God for granted. Because now I've been saved this long, Pastor, and I've gone to church, and I know all the songs, and I read my Bible, and I know scriptures, and I'm going through the motions. But it's another thing for you to be in a place where you feel as though you've gone to a place that God isn't there with you.
Right.
It's another thing for you to feel as though that you're in a place where you feel as though you're all alone. That when you're in a place that it seems as though your situation and your circumstance has engulfed in you in everything that you do, that you cry out and say, where is God? And so this is the time where we start to see the yearning. Here in these scriptures that we just read, it says in verse number 4, it says they in Psalm 107, it says they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. And so now we see wondering. When I don't know about you, if you ever been in a place of wondering. Were you ever been in a place where you just felt lost? Whenever you've been in a place where you didn't know how you were going to get out of this, where you was going to go, you was just wondering.
Right, yeah. Right.
God, where are you?
Yeah.
You were just wondering. You didn't know how. God, where are you? I've done this. I've read. But God, where are you? I still feel like I'm going through. I still feel like I'm going without. I still feel like I'm lacking. God, where are you? And we're wondering, and we're wondering, and we're wondering. But it tells us here that he keeps them from wondering, amen? Because when we go down a little bit further in verse number 6, it says, even in their wondering, in their hunger, and in their thirst, even when their soul began to faint in, and when they began to give up, when they got to the point that they were ready to give up, it says in verse 6, then, not only until they had to get there,
yeah.
It says, now once they got there, then
yeah.
They cried out unto him.
Yeah. Yeah.
The yearning wouldn't have been real if you haven't never got there. It says, then he cried out unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And in their trouble, in the midst of it going on,
yeah.
It says he delivered them out of their distresses.
That's good.
It's time to pray. Why is it time to pray? Because God is going to allow us to get into some stuff.
Yeah.
He's already got the answer. Look, let me tell you something. Your situation and your circumstance is not a surprise to God. He already knows that you're going to go through what you're going to go through.
Yeah.
He set it up so he could hear you yearn for him. He said, you might have been taking me a little for granted on your job, so I'm going to allow you to go through some stuff so that I'm going to cause you to pray.
Yeah.
This exhibit, he keeps us from wondering.
Yeah.
Yearning keeps us from wondering. Because when it happens, when we go through, we yearn for the Lord. And in our yearning, he delivers us from that wondering. Amen. I'm just telling you what scripture says. Now let's start to look at verses 10 through 16. I'm only going to point out a couple of things. Write this down so you can go back and look at it. Amen. verses 10 through 16. Verses 11, it says, because they rebelled, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. It says, because they rebelled against the Lord. It says, because they condemned the counsel of the Most High. They were being told what to do, but they said, you know what? I want to do it my way anyhow. He says, because of this, then it says, verse 12, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. There's a lot of things that we go through because of our own fault. Because we didn't listen anyhow. If it can happen in the natural, it can happen in the spiritual. Let me tell you, as a child, every single one of us didn't come out as an adult. And I know I can definitely speak for myself that there was a whole lot of times that my mom and daddy told me there was something I was supposed to do. But instead of doing it the way they told me to do it, I chose to do it my own way. And in choosing to do it my own way, I went through things that I might not had to go through. If I would have listened to them in the first place. And so now that I'm a parent, and I talk to my children, and I see my children going one way, and I say, no, you shouldn't do it that way. Hey, look, there's a better way of doing it. My children still sometimes choose to do it their own way. And because of doing it their own way, they end up going through stuff they necessarily wouldn't have had to go through if they just would have listened. And so he says, you didn't listen to me. He says, so therefore I brought down your heart with labor. You fell down and there was no one else to help you. Why? Because I'm God and I'm not allowing anyone else to help you. You're going to have to come to me. You're going to have to yearn for me. Number one, he keeps us from wondering. But number two, he saves us from ourselves. From ourselves. When that flesh rises up, he saves us from ourselves. And that ought to be enough to praise the Lord for, amen? He saves us for ourselves. But look here at verse 13. He says, we rebelled and he brought us down. It says in verse 13, it says, but then they cried unto the Lord. When in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Even when we start to go against ourselves, God will allow us to get to a point that even when we get to that point and it's a time for us to pray, it's time for us to yearn unto him, it's time for him, for us to have an intense longing and desire to be in his presence. He says, only then will I bring you out of the mess that you're in. Only then will I save you from yourself. Because if we would have left to our own devices, whether you believe it or not, whether you realize it or not, you would destroy yourself. Four examples. He keeps us from wondering. He saves us from ourselves. I want you to look at verses 17 through 22. Amen. Make sure you write it down. We're not going to read all of these verses, but make sure you write it down. Verse number 17, it says, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, they are afflicted. I don't know about you, but I've been foolish. I don't know about you, but there's been times that I've been foolish. Amen. There's been times where I've messed up. It says, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. It says, because of our transgressions and because of our iniquities, we are afflicted. We are sick. Our bodies go through stuff because of what we've allowed ourselves to go through. Okay. Let me show you how sin messes it up. The Bible says in Romans, it says that every single one of us has sin, correct? And then it says that because every single one of us have sinned, it says there's a price that has to be paid. And it says the price that has to be paid is death. And so I want you to understand that that's not just a spiritual thing that we look at and say, well, oh, that's just a metaphor. No, your physical body has to die. And so sin actually causes sickness. Sin actually causes affliction. Sin actually can cause you to go through some of the things that you go through. But it says here that even in going through, even the sin, even the sickness, even the mess that I got going on in my life, verse 19 says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. So there's going to be some times that you're sick. There's going to be some times that you're going, whether it be a physical sickness or whether it be a spiritual sickness. I don't know if you've ever been so sick sometimes that you didn't even know how to pray, that you wanted somebody else to pray for you, that your body was so weak you wasn't able to pray like you wanted to pray. The Bible even talks about that there'll be times where you can't even speak, where your words aren't even going to come out, that there's just going to be utterances that come out of your mouth. You won't even be able to speak and pray. But you know what? I'm here to tell you that even when we get that low, even when we feel as though we're by ourselves, even when we feel as though there's nobody else to be there, that there's nobody else to pray, and I can't even pray for myself, he says, but then you'll cry out unto me, then you'll have a yearning for me. And look, yearning doesn't necessarily come from your mouth.
Amen.
This yearning comes from the heart. This yearning comes from the heart. God didn't say that David was a man after his own mouth. He said David was a man after my own heart. Why? Not just because of what David did, not because of what he said, but he says because I know David's heart. God knows your heart. He knows why you really do what you do. He knows that if you just came here just to show up to say, yeah, Pastor, I was here. He knows that if you really came through because you say, yeah, I got on a new suit today and I want somebody to see my suit. I got on some new shoes today and I want. He knows that if you really came and said, you know what, I don't care if it wasn't but one person there. I don't care if it wasn't nobody else going to show up. I don't care what was going on. I don't care what type of conference. I don't care who was preaching. I just had to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
He says he keeps us. We see here in Scripture, he keeps us from wandering. We see here in Scripture that he saves us from ourselves. We see here in Scripture that he heals us from sickness. The last point I want to give to you, and we'll be able to go. I want to give you the last point. Look at verses 23 through 32 here in this same psalm. Verses 23 through 32 is talking about sailors. It's talking about sailors of that time and sailors being caught up in a storm. Verse number 27 says, they reel to and fro. They're tossed to and fro. And they stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Anybody ever been at their wit's end before? Anybody ever felt as though you was at the end of your rope? That you was at the bottom of your barrel? That you was in a very, very, very dark place that you had never been before.
Yeah.
You're being tossed. It seems as one thing is pulling you here. One thing is pulling you there. You don't even know which way you're going. You're being turned around, pushed down, pulled up, taken over here, taken over there, at your wit's end. But what does he do? It says, verse 28. Then they cried unto the Lord, and in their trouble, he bringeth them out of their distresses. Verse 29 says, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Not only does he keep us from wandering, not only does he keep us saved from ourselves, not only does he heal us from sickness, but he calms the storms of life. Whether you've experienced this yet or not, I can tell you this, if you keep living, you're going to be caught up in a storm. You're going to be caught up in a storm and not know which way to go. You're going to be placed in a situation that you're not going to know how to get out of it. But know that it doesn't catch God off by surprise. It doesn't catch him off guard. He knows it's coming. It couldn't happen if he didn't allow it to happen in the first place. But he's allowing it to happen because he says, look, not that he needs to see our heart, not that he needs to learn our heart, not that he needs to this to happen so that he can see what we're really about, but he allows these things to happen so that we can see who we really are. We say that God's all-knowing, amen? So if he's all-knowing, then why does he have to learn us? He doesn't have to learn us. God allows us to go through what we go through to encourage us, to let us know, see, you're stronger than you think you are.
Amen.
You thought it was going to take you out, but I designed it to make you stronger.
Yeah.
And now that you see that it didn't defeat you, look how strong you are now.
Amen.
Look at how strong you are in God now. Look at that because you have faith in God. Look at what he brought you through now. And so now when the next storm comes, the enemy's going to have to do better than that because you've been in that storm before. You made it through that. And if you're going to try to come at me with that, oh, me and God defeated that one time already. And I thank God for it. Amen. Yearn for God because he's the answer. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happened in your life, no matter how it felt, no matter what it looked like, I'm here to tell you that God's the answer. I gave you scriptures. It wasn't Pastor Webb said. I gave you scriptures that show that he wants us to delight in him. He wants us to understand him. He wants us to know him. He wants to show you just how strong you really are. He doesn't want to hear it come from your mouth. You take the time when those scriptures I gave you in Jeremiah, and you go back and look at Jeremiah, you go back and you look at King Josiah and look up how he was brought and how everything went on. Look, he was supposed to do something else. But Josiah said, no, I'm not going with everybody else. I'm going against the grain and I'm going to do what it is God would have for me to do. And he said, I'm going to do it in a way that I'm going to be just. And I'm going to be... That's why a lot of believers have problem with church. Because a lot of folk that say that they believers act totally different than what they say they are. I can be a believer and love the Lord and not have to beat you over the head with the Bible. I don't have to spit out scriptures to you every time you see me. But what I can do is I can walk in a way that God would have for me to walk. And so that when I see an opportunity to be able to bless God, because when I bless somebody else, that's what I'm doing. I'm blessing God. When I see an opportunity that I could do something for somebody else, I ain't got to stand on top of a mountain and tell everybody.
Amen. Amen.
I can just do what it is God would want me to do. And by doing that, we heard about compassion. I can show compassion to one another. Why do we have so many mean Christians. So many mean believers. I know everybody in here can probably name one that was just mean. Why? The compassion actually gives an opportunity to reveal Christ, to show his love. Did not he say one of his commandments in the New Testament that we find out? He says, love one another as I've loved you. Love thy neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Does the scripture tell us? He says, you mistreated me. Well, Lord, how did we mistreat you? Well, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I didn't have any shelter, he gives us opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
We ought to have an attitude of yearning for the Lord. No matter what it is that we're going through, no matter how it looks, understand that it's time to pray. Proclaim, recall, acknowledge, and yearn. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen. Oh, come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen. We appreciate the clapping, amen, but can we go ahead and put our hands together for our Creator, for our Savior, for the one that hears our cry and delivers us from our distresses. Would it be all right to praise him right now? After listening to the word this evening, I don't know where you are. When I say that, I mean, I don't know where you're going through in your life. I don't know where you've come from, and I can't tell you exactly where you're going. But what I can offer to you tonight is that after listening to this message, if you found an area, if an area was touched on, if something was brought back to your remembrance, if something you could just think back and say, you know what? Yeah, I was in that place and God brought me out. Or you might be able to say, you know what? I'm in that place and I need the Lord to bring me out. You say, you know what? Maybe, that's me. That's me. I've gotten caught up in the motion of church and my heart really isn't in it. That's what the Glory Conference is for. That's what a revival is for, to point out some things, to get you to understand, yeah, I need to get back over here. The world has many influences. It has many things that's thrown out there that's simply meant to cause a distraction, to get you so caught up and so busy with work and so busy with home and so busy with this and so busy with that and so busy with school that we start to put God on the back burner. I know what I'll do. I'll give God my leftovers. It's personal decision time. If any of those things have touched you in an area that you say, look, I don't need to know all about it. Just would you come to the altar and pray with us? God bless you. Yeah, yeah.